Now is it good to be here? Amen. We're studying out of the book of Acts today, Acts chapter 8. I'm going to basically preach from the whole chapter, but we're only going to read the first 13 verses. And I titled this, Can I Trust the Jesus I Don't Understand? Can I Trust the Jesus I Don't Understand? Another title would be, When God Doesn't Make Sense. God doesn't make sense. So in Acts chapter 8, it says, Now Saul was consenting to his death, speaking of Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. With one accord, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery, it's witchcraft, in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they had gave heed and from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Let me pause for just a second because I'm not going to speak on this at all, but I just want to throw this out. There is power in Satan, and those things are real. You be careful what you allow in your life. People reading your palms and anything like that, that's you're digging into the wrong bushel. Okay, so it's of Satan, and we have no part of that. So, you know, my mother, when we were kids, bought us a Ouija board. And I want to tell you, it worked. Because Satan makes it work. And so that stuff is evil. And so this man, did you notice it said many were possessed of the devil? Why were many possessed of the devil? Because Simon was there with his sorcery. Okay, it was having an impact on that society, but God is greater. Is that not right? Okay, and they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he had preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and he was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now I want you to turn back. I didn't put this in your scriptures, but Isaiah chapter 55 says this, Seek the Lord, verse 6, while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This is the Lord speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today, recognizing that the Spirit of the Lord is here moving among us. God, I open up my heart right now to receive life from the Word of God, from the Spirit of God. God, I pray that your Spirit would take the seed of the word and plant it in my heart, that it would bear fruit. God, I pray, Lord, that hope would be dispensed today like water. God, just let hope fill this place, Lord. I pray, Lord, specifically, Lord, for those that are stuck or those that are in a downcast position, God, that you would let them know you're still in charge, that you have not forsaken them. Lord, you are still Lord over all. So, Father, I just pray for the ministering Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to touch each and every one. God, more than what I can speak, the Spirit of God, can take this word and divide it severally as he will and plant it in our hearts. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When God doesn't make sense, there are times, God bless you, I'm having some throat problems. There are times when your life and my life, when God doesn't make sense. He doesn't do things the way that I told him to do them, right? Most of us, when we pray, we tell Jesus how to answer our prayer because we've got it all figured out, right? Now, Lord, you need to do this. You need to do that. And see, I know the way, but I don't know the way. So I wanted to sow that verse into your heart that Isaiah gave to us. His way is higher than your way. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And so you have to trust God when he doesn't make sense. You have to trust God when it looks like all hell is coming against you. And if it's never happened to you, oh, put your seatbelt on, brother or sister, because it's going to happen. So the very first thing we see is God's marketing plan is not like ours, right? So God told them in the first chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses, and you'll go from Jerusalem, which is their headquarters, basically, Judea, which is the countryside. It'd be like Paris, Tennessee, Kentucky, and the uttermost parts of the world, okay? So that's what the word of God is getting out. In other words, I'm going to use you, and I've got a marketing strategy that's going to blow your mind. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. How did God do it? Persecution. Oh, bless God. Sign me up for that one, right? So what happened is he allowed Saul to raise up and to begin to drag people out of their home and kill Christians under the authority of Nero, right? Bad things were happening. Stephen was a mighty man of God. He preached one sermon that we know of and got stoned for it. And they were laying their coats at Saul's feet. Folks, this is not the marketing plan that you and I would seek out, but it worked. So Philip, later on in scripture, is called the great evangelist, right? But what do we know him as? He's a waiter. He's one of the seven guys that they selected of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom, that they said, hey, will you help us take care of these widows? And he said, yes. And then the next couple of chapters is about two of those seven guys. We get to look into their life. And they may have started like a waiter, but they didn't end up there. One thing the Lord has showed me, I don't call knots on a tree to do something for me. I'm looking for wheels in motion. If you're sitting there doing nothing, saying, God, use me, he's going to say, get up and do something, and maybe I will. You see, these guys were doing something. They may not have been called to this, but they were selected, and they said, I can do that. I can help in this area. And then all of a sudden, God begins to envelop other callings in their life. Stephen became a great minister, you know, and Philip was an evangelist, the first evangelist that we see. He had four daughters, and his daughters were all prophetess. I mean, God was moving in the house of Philip. And Philip, number one, was a daddy. Don't ever forget that. The highest calling you have is to pastor your own family. And so I can see this man's heart as daddy. And he's saying, bad things are happening in this city. I'm getting my daughters out of Dodge, right? We need, for the safety protection, that's what everybody, the only people that stayed in Jerusalem was the apostles. That was headquarters. So they stayed. Everybody else went, pew. Why? Because they're killing them. I hope you're getting this. God's ways are not our ways. But as they went, they took the word with them. They begin to preach. Philip began to preach the word of God, and God began to use him. with great signs, great wonders, miracles were happening. And a city that did not know Jesus turned to Christ, and largely was a great revival in that city. So it was wonderful things happening. And so it wasn't the way we saw it. There was a guy in the Old Testament by the name of Joseph. And he has this dream when he's about 17 years old. And this dream is this corn stalk stood up among all the other corn stalks. And they began to bow down to him. And he knew immediately what that was. My brothers are going to bow down to me. That just appeals to my ego, right? Right? And so he saw promotion. He knew that there was a calling of God on his life. And he thought, oh my, I'm a big deal. I'm a pretty big deal, right? But he didn't realize his promotion was going to come through a jail cell. All hell began to break loose in his life. First of all, his brothers tried to kill him, but then Reuben said, no, we can't do that. So let's just make some money. Let's sell him. So they sold him to one person who sold him to another person who began to serve that household. The wife began to take notice, and she claimed that he tried to rape her. So he goes to prison. Falsely accused. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be falsely accused of anything. He's sitting in prison. The Bible never tells us he ever doubted God. But he was a man. He may not have doubted God, but he had to be saying, I didn't have this one figured out. Is this still your way? I'm going to tell you, there's times in our life when God doesn't make sense. When the things that are happening to us, we're going to look and we're going to say, I surrendered myself, I surrendered my heart to God, and I don't feel nothing now. I pray and it just hits that ceiling and bounces off. Do you remember my name? Do you remember the vision and the dreams that you gave me? Satan tries his hardest at that moment. He is working. Satan's like, he doesn't remember you. He doesn't know you. That dream was pizza last night. It wasn't from God. Both will give you dreams and visions. It's in times like this you got to hang on to the promise. Let me just get right with you for a second. Because I know I'm talking to some of you. Some of you just need to get bulldog in your faith. You just need to plant a heel. I will not leave the promises of God. They are yea and amen. And I don't care if all hell comes against me. Job said, if he slays me, I'm going to trust him. I will not be denied the promises of God. I'm believing him. Right? And Satan's going to, no, you can't. He's not trustworthy. And I'm telling you, he is. God, you can trust him, but he will not do it the way you think. He just doesn't. And I'm thankful. But it also makes me mad. Because I had a pretty good way figured out, right? You know, most of the time, stubbornness is not a blessing. But there's some times when you just need to be dog stubborn. Just dig your heels in. You know, Paul said in Ephesians, he said, just stand there. When all hell is breaking loose against you, you just stand. Why? Because the battle's been won, baby. Amen. That battle's already been won. You just got to stand. I love the verse in Proverbs that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. You know why I love that? Because it's the biggest challenge to me. Because my life is like playing chess with God. Well, Lord, I'm gonna move here. Now what you gonna do? Right? And he said, I ain't playing chess with you, son. I'm not gonna, the Lord won't tell you what he's gonna do most of the time. Why? Because he wants you to walk by faith. He wants you to trust him when you can't figure it out. Will you trust him? Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. You know, Romans 8:28 is still God's word. And we know that all these things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You hear me? I'm going to sow that into your life. Can I sow that into your life? Will you receive this morning? And all things. In all things, God works for the good. God takes the bad things. He didn't cause the bad things, but he takes the bad things. And he's going to turn them around into good, into you, for your benefit, for his kingdom. Bless the Lord. I believe the Lord gave this word to me. He says, look for what God is doing, not so much how he's doing it. Look for what God is doing. Will you believe God when you can't feel him? I said this morning, there is a time in your life, in every one of our lives, there is a time when God pulls us off the breast. He begins to wean us. When we are saved, we are like a baby being breastfed. God holds us up there. You know, one of the names of God is El Shaddai, which means the breasted one. Did you know that? It means the one that we can draw our nourishment from. But when you, as you mature in the Lord starts pushing you away a little bit, just like an animal does. You know that old mama cow? She kicks that cow. Get over from here. Grow up, kid. Right? And that's what he's telling you. Okay. It's time you get weaned. It's time you grow up. And I don't want you walking all your life by what you feel. I want you to be a man of faith. I want you to trust me when you can't feel it. I want you to trust me when it doesn't make sense. I want you to trust me in the jail cell as much on the mountaintop. And we know that God works all things for the good, right? So Philip the evangelist, scattered, probably trying to protect his family, introduced as a waiter to scripture, but he leaves Jerusalem. He goes to Samaria. He steps out. I can see him doing this sort of nonchalant, just telling somebody that about Jesus. And the guy catches on, brings a neighbor. And all of a sudden, he's not preaching to one. He's preaching to the masses. And miracles are happening. Great things are happening. Now, you need to understand, Jews hated the Samaritans. There was not a relationship there. You remember the woman at the well in Samaria? She was, when Jesus said, would you mind giving me some water? And she said, what are you doing talking to me? Jews don't talk. Aren't you glad that God crosses over boundary lines? Well, you're not smart enough. You're the wrong color. Well, you don't have enough money to serve me. Well, you're just too bad. And God crosses over that and says, no, no, no. I don't care. Come to me. You getting that? You come to me. You come to me. And he told her, he said, if you knew who you were talking to, I wouldn't be asking you for water. You'd be asking me for water. There was a hatred. The Samaritans were what they called half-breeds. They were partially Jew, partially other things. And the Jews did not respect that. But God crossed over that barrier. And he sent his evangelist, his first evangelist. Acts 1:8. You're going to leave Jerusalem. You're going to go to Samaria. What happened? They left Jerusalem and they went to Samaria and preached the God. I'm telling you, you can trust the word of God. It will be completed. The Bible says God watches over his word to complete it, to perform it. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when you can't figure it out, he's got it planned already. So he goes to Samaria. Begins to preach the gospel. Great things are happening. And then he meets a man called Simon. He probably didn't know all of his, you know, his background, but Simon was a sorcerer. He was into witchcraft. He had a pride problem. He wanted to be somebody big. Had a big ego. He wanted people to respect him. So he did a lot of things, and he caused a lot of problems in Samaria, actually. But he hears the message, and he prays, and gets saved, and gets baptized. And just when things are going great, I'm telling you, the revival is on. The church says, Peter and John, you need to get down to Samaria and take over. Start preaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter and John goes down there. And I'm going to just tell you, the heart of an evangelist, the heart of a pastor, when God says, okay, your time is up. No, it's not. God, do you see what's happening? Do you see this great revival? I'm not leaving when it's a great revival. Man, people are being saved every day. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. And God says, yeah, you are. Now, we're not told that. I'm just telling you human nature. He says, I want you to leave the revival and go down this desert road because I have an appointment for you with a man, an Ethiopian eunuch, a man that the scripture don't even give us his name. We're given the name of his queen, Candace, and he is like the Secretary of State. He is a, you know... Church history will tell you that Ethiopia got evangelized because of this man. Now, Philip didn't know that. Philip had no clue. Why will you take me out of revival and lead me down a desert road? Okay, let me get where you're living. Why'd you let me go through a divorce? Why'd you allow this car wreck to happen to me? I believe God's in control. Why'd my baby die? There are a lot of people that are mad at God today because they didn't trust him when the times got hard. And I'm just encouraging you, when times get hard, it's not time to take a step back. It's time to take a step up and say, I will trust you. I guarantee you, Philip didn't understand. It was appointed by God. Peter and John come and share the gospel of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Simon saw what was happening, people being filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, can I buy that? He said, may your money perish with you. I see. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I see your heart is full of bitterness. I'm sorry. I'm really having a tough time. Trust God when you can't talk. Some of you are getting excited now. Sometimes before you can share the good news, you got to share some bad news. I see you're a sinner in need of a Savior. But I want to tell you something. The gospel is good news. He won't leave you in your sin. He won't leave you in your addiction. He won't leave you in that mess that you have made. And don't come to me and say, you don't understand, Pastor. I made this myself. Well, what mess do we not make? I mean, really, we make all of our own messes, right? Doing our own thing, going our own way. The way of man is destruction, leads to hell. But God, thank God of his intersections. Simon just talks straight to him to the point that, or Peter talks straight to Simon to the point that Simon said, help me, right? Don't leave me like this. You're right. Now, I just want to get real with you for a second. There's been a debate between the Baptists and the Pentecost for years. And the Pentecost would say, well, old Simon backslid. And the Baptists say, no, he was never saved. And I believe the Baptist is right on this one. I believe he prayed a prayer and he got wet. But there was no repentance in his heart. He was not sincere. His heart was full of evil. It's what Peter said. Peter identified it after he said the prayer. The Bible says that there is fruit of righteousness after salvation. I heard David Jeremiah talking today. If you're not listening to him, you need to listen to a good preacher. So tune him in. He's a great preacher, preaches a good word. He said he was sick the other day and he lost his appetite. It changed the way he even tasted food. And he said, it reminded me of being a Christian. When you get born again, God begins to change the taste for what you are hungry for. And you don't hunger for the things that you used to. The things that you used to think were fun, all of a sudden become disgusting in your sight. That's real salvation. Yes. And if that's not you, maybe we need to do it again. Maybe we need to just say a prayer and truly submit. A broken and contrite spirit thou wilt inhabit. Thou wilt hear that, right? There's too many dry-eyed prayers. Well, I'll say a prayer with you, Pastor, because you told me to say a prayer. But I don't feel nothing. I just doubt salvation that you can't get into you, right? I mean, it just ought to do something to you. It changes the way you think. It actually changes who you are. I believe that Simon did get saved after that. God worked in his life because there is no one that God cannot save. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You need to know that. You need to hang on to that. Your prodigals will come home. If you train them up right, there's a promise in Scripture that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Now, it doesn't tell us what the middle is going to look like. The middle, they may be a hellion. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. You know I'm preaching right. And if you don't give up, you hear me? If you don't give up, don't give up. I just feel that so strong. Don't give up. Hang in there and believe God. They're coming home because your word is true. So Philip goes down this desert road. He left the 99 for the one in that scriptural. Goes down this road. He meets this man in a chariot. The Spirit of the Lord says, get on up there. So he goes and says he joined himself. He stood outside that chariot and he's listening to the guy. And he's reading Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I unless somebody explain this? And then Philip says, well, I don't mind explaining some things to you. So he opened up Scripture to him and preached Jesus Christ. To the point that as they were going down the road, the Ethiopian said, hey, there's water. I can be baptized. And I think he's remembering Simon. And Philip says, not unless you believe with all your heart. I ain't having no more salvations like Simon. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came from heaven, that he died for your sin and he rose from the dead? And that Ethiopian said, I believe that. He said, let's go get wet. They headed into the body of water. And when he put him down in the water, not one went up, but two went up. Hallelujah. He puts him down. He raises him up. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God caught Philip. Bam, he's gone. Now, some of you don't believe in rapture. I'm going to tell you that was a rapture. Hallelujah. He didn't go to heaven. He went to the next assignment. Aren't you ready? I'm ready for both. I'm ready for us to go to the assignment that God has called us. I've been preaching here for 12 years and I'm seeing it. I'm beginning to see, man, we've been planting seeds and planting seeds and planting seeds, and we're seeing it. We're seeing what God is doing. Joe Flatt is in the kingdom of heaven today because a team went out there and shared the gospel. It said that that Ethiopian took his faith back and all of Ethiopia got saved. I feel like the Lord gave me this passage of scripture in James chapter 4. And so James is written to the church. It's written to believers. So this is pertinent to you today. Would you say that with me? This is important to me. This is not written for my neighbor. Okay. He says, therefore, submit to God. Number one. Number two, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And we preach that a lot, don't we? You need to submit it to God and resist the devil. You know why? Because the devil, when bad times are happening, the devil's in your head. I've said this before. The devil's a photographic thinker. See, on your worst day, Satan slips up, gets his Polaroid out, and takes that picture. And then waves it like my mama used to do, where it'd dry out. And then for the next so many days, months, or years, he throws that picture up, says, see this? See how bad it is? Your life ain't ever changing from this. You hear me? You hear me? You hear me? That's the lie of the enemy. God says, you denounce that in Jesus' name. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. It's the word of God. It's true. It's this next part that we don't quite understand. He says, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Now, we know that. We understand that. Treva quoted that today. You take the first step, you'll find. The prodigal son had to make the first move, didn't he? But the father was waiting on him. Number four said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, sinners are not double-minded. They're single-minded. They're serving Satan with a single mind. I'm doing what pleases me. I'm doing my thing. They don't realize they're doing Satan's thing. They're single-minded. Who's double-minded in this room? Us, believers. I know you don't like to admit it, but you are. You hear me, you hypocrite? No, I'm just... We want so badly to believe. We want so badly to trust. But the truth of the matter is our mind is attacking us all the time saying, oh, be careful. Don't step out on that limb. Somebody may cut that off out of behind you. Come on. You know that's true. The devil's after your thoughts. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, sometimes you just need to say, God, forgive me for being double-minded. It is a sin. You know that, right? Number five, lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned from mourning and your joy to gloom. What's he talking about? He is not talking about the rest of your life. You hear me? This is for a select time when you need to get your heart right. And you need to realize you're a triumphant. You're not the victim. You're the victor. You hear me? But when you bought the lie of the enemy, when you believe that God has forgotten your name, when you start believing that the devil's in charge of my life and not God, you need to repent for that nonsense. And you need to say, God, I'm sorry I ever doubted you. I don't care how bad it looks at the moment. I will trust you. Lament, mourn, and welcome. Weep. Why? Because a broken heart God will receive. There's some times when we need to get broken before the Lord. Father, forgive me for doubting you. I think it's chapter 4 of the same book. He says, you adulterous generation. Who's he talking to? Church people. When you go out with the world and come to church on Sunday, you're an adulterer of the worst kind. Spiritual adultery. And I don't know many folks that is not guilty. Too many Christians have tried to walk both sides of the fence. It's the most miserable life you'll ever lead. One foot in church, one foot in the world. You're walking like the guy that just got off the horse. Mr. Bowleg. Been walking this way for so long, it's just who I am now. Oh, that hurt my hip. The last part of that is this. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble. That's your job. Humble yourself. Now listen to the rest of it. And He, capital H, He will exalt you. Humble yourself and wait for God to exalt you. I believe the Lord, I've preached this sermon before. I preached the story of Philip before. Never like this. I've never preached this sermon before. I'm telling you, God has a message for us. And it's like, don't you give up. You hear the Holy Ghost saying that. Don't you give up. Even when you don't understand what I'm doing, I'm still doing. I'm still working. I'm still in charge. Let me just say something else. God is still in charge of America. And we are not dependent upon a Democrat or a Republican. Both of the yahoos God could use. Both need to repent. We need to find the will of God and vote the will of God. But we do need to vote. Would you stand with me? I started this lesson. Come on up, Treva. I started this with asking you a question. Can I trust the Jesus I don't understand? You know what I think maybe the better question is, or the better statement? Would you listen to me really close? Don't trust the Jesus you can't understand. You hear me? Too many of us have got Jesus in a box. And we think we've got it all figured out. And you don't. I promise you, you don't. He's far greater. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now think about all those things that's happened to you that you can't understand and commit it to Jesus. Say, God, I trust you when I don't understand you. I will not lean to my own understanding, but in all my ways I will acknowledge you, and you will direct my paths. I'm telling you, I promise you, Joseph didn't know what was going on, and Philip didn't know what was going on. Why would you lead me out of this revival to take me down a desert road? Good God, Ethiopian. You hear me? God will not do for that man what he won't do for you. You may think God doesn't know your name. I promise you he does. God knows your name. God knows who you are. He even knows the mess that you've got yourself in. And he does not look poorly upon you because of that. God's full of mercy. I know we can't understand it, can't we? God's full of love. God even, maybe you're not new, maybe you're totally new to this church. And you don't understand. But I want you to know, God knew what he put on my heart. God knew what I was going to preach. And he also knew you were going to be here. I didn't know it. None of my business, really. But he knew it. And it was planned. God had a plan for you to be here and hear the message of grace, because that's what it is. It's grace. I don't care what you're addicted to. I don't care what you're in trouble for. I don't care how bad you've screwed your life up. I'm telling you, God can rescue us. God reaches down to the lowest pit and pulls us out, sets us on the rock. Hallelujah. Will you surrender it to Him? I'm asking you, will you surrender it to Him? Will you surrender your failures to Him? Will you surrender your successes to Him? Because all of them need to be surrendered. Will you say, God, You're in charge. I'm going to quit trying to make all my decisions. I've done my best and I've come up short. Now, God, it's Yours. It's Yours. Could you say that? God, I trust You. I trust You, God. Take my life, the shambles of it, and make something holy of it. Would your head bow, your eyes closed? Dale, would you come and pray with Derek? Maybe that you're not even walking with Jesus right now. And the very first thing you need to do is submit your heart to God. You need salvation. And so if you need salvation today, I'm going to ask you to step out of your chair. I want you to come up and Dale will talk to you. And Dale will lead you in the sinner's prayer so that you can get some things right today. But you need to know. You need to be able to say, like Simon said, I believe. Like the Ethiopian eunuch says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe He died for my sins. If you believe that today, you're a candidate for salvation. Now you just need to surrender and ask Him to forgive you of your heart. You need to pray the prayer of faith. Everyone, listen to that. Everyone, you listening? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. It's not a respecter of persons. I believe by and large, it's not a message necessarily for the unsaved. I believe it's a message for the saved. I believe it's a message for those that are losing hope. I feel like if I could see it in my spirit, I feel like you've tied an end in the rope and you're hanging on with dear life. And God has come to tell you, He's come to say, I got you, son. I got you, daughter. Don't give up. Don't let go of that rope because I'm pulling you to a new height. I'm taking you somewhere where you ain't ever been before. God, pull us up, Jesus. Pull us up. Make us whole. Father God, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, for the move of the Spirit of God. Touch every heart. Heal every hurt. Erase some things in our hearts today. God, help us to get our eyes off the present. Help us to get our eyes off the past. And help us to put our eyes on Christ, the author and the finisher of my hope. You're the only one who's done this successfully. So I'm going with You, Christ. I'm hanging on to You. Jesus, hear the cry of the people in this room. Touch their hearts. Let's sing this song. Treva is playing.
Oh, I trust in God. My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. My Savior, the one who will never fail. Oh, I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord.
Did you?
And He heard.
Come on.
And He answered.
Make it
your confession. I sought the Lord. And He heard. And He answered. I sought the Lord. And He heard. And He answered. That's why I trust Him. Sing it again.
That's why I trust Him.
I sought the Lord. And He heard. And He answered. I sought the Lord. And He heard,
Jesus.
And He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God. my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Do one more time.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Amen. Denny, you can come up. Let's end this, but I felt like the Holy Spirit just said you need to break an assignment. And some of you won't understand that. And that's okay if you just trust me for just a second. So there's some of you that have dabbled in satanic things. And you're wondering, am I a Simon? Is my salvation real? And so the Lord said, I want you to pray and break that assignment off. I want to, and you got to pray with me. We're going to pray and we're going to break off everything. So drug use is a sorcery. Witchcraft, it's a type. Pornography, it's a type of witchcraft. I know you don't see it, but it's scripturally, it's right. Galatians 5. And so we're going to pray that God breaks that off of you, that you'll never again, the results, the little things that are tied into your life that's causing you problems, they're going to break today. God's going to go, he's going to take an axe to the root of that tree and he's going to break it so that you're free from what you've done in your past. Father God, I come before you right now and I didn't do this in the first service. I'm only doing this because you put it in my heart. God, but I ask you by the power of the Holy Ghost right now that you would break the assignment that Satan has planted in these folks' life because of the ignorance that they did when they were not saved, God, when they were in the world. Lord, they've done some things that are not godly. And I'm asking you, Lord, right now to break that off. Break it off in the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, break it. Break it in Jesus' name. Break off those addictions. Break off that satanic hold. Let their minds be free in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I always love the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. I love where it says that he went and met the Ethiopian where he was on the road. But it says when he got up in the chariot with him, he started at the verse that he was reading and preached him Jesus. So he met him physically and he met him where he was at spiritually and took him by the hand and walked him where he needed to go to meet Jesus. It's such a comfort to me. Number one, because I was an Ethiopian and God sent somebody to take me by the hand and lead me. And I have family members, I have loved ones, I have coworkers, I have people that they're waiting for somebody to meet them where they're at and to share them Jesus. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, next Sunday is Bring a Friend to Church Sunday. So if you get the opportunity, invite somebody to church and bring them with you Sunday. So it'll be a wonderful time for them. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.